Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Make sure you enter today's Fox Bet Super 6 NBA contest for a chance to win $25,000. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and pick the outcome of six of today's NBA games for your chance to win. It's completely free to play.
I don't know how anybody wins betting NBA regular season this year with all the players taking off because of the condensed schedule. Now, playoffs I get because you're getting everybody wants to win. All the stars play. This year's regular season, if you can win betting the NBA, God love you. Because
I'm sure someone's figured it out.
I'm sure they have. But it has been, there are games where you get these late scratches this year. What are you going to do? Bill Romanowski played in the NFL. This is a long time for a linebacker to play. 16 years. And he got four-time Super Bowl champ. Ton of playoff games. Niners, he won a couple Super Bowls. And Broncos. Also has a company, Nutrition53.com. He's got a product, Lean One, which I've taken before. It's great. Tastes great. Nutrition53.com. Bill Romanowski is now joining us live. So you would work with you know the Raiders really well. You know their culture. You know the team. You'd work with them a couple years ago, Bill. And the other day, an article came out, and it had Gruden as the lowest-rated GM, Gruden and Mayock. And my belief is, John is a good football coach. He should stay away from personnel because he falls in love with players. And all the good GMs I've known are always like, you got to get unemotional. Your takeaway on my belief that Gruden doesn't do well at the drafting thing because he's like a teenage boy. He falls in love every weekend with somebody different.
You know, you fall in love, but also, Colin, he falls out of love just as quickly as he falls in love with guys. And that, you know, can be a problem too, especially with young guys.
Is there a move he's made you didn't like that you just think you look back and go, gosh, I wouldn't have done that?
Yes. The one that stands out to me is Khalil Mack. When you have the best pass rusher in the league on your team and you get rid of him for a couple first-round draft picks, and then you don't hit on those first-round draft picks, that's a disaster for your football team.
Well, Bill, as you well know, this draft, I mean, half the NFL is undrafted. I mean, you went to a smaller school, so you don't really know outside of your top 7-8 picks. There's a lot of guessing here. In your career, we got a draft coming up next week.
Yeah.
How many days did it take you in your 16 years to be able, how many practices that you would watch a draft pick play and know dude's got it or can't play a lick?
You can usually know the first day.
Wow.
I could. You know, you just see the way they react. You see their speed. You see their mind. And then you see, do they have natural ability just to play the game? So there's been a lot of physical specimens I've seen over the years that couldn't think their way out of a cardboard box.
Right.
And they couldn't make plays because they couldn't react and it just wasn't natural for them.
You know, it's interesting. Jimmy Johnson was on my show the other day, the Hall of Fame coach, and I said, what was the first thing you look at? And he said, intelligence. He goes, if you can't line up in the right spot, there's nothing I can do for you. When you look, now, could I make the argument that players now, the coaching is so good in high school and all this 7-on-7 stuff, that happened. Most guys now, as your career aged, were players a little more in tune intellectually later than early, or how did that land?
You know, I felt like guys came in, for the most part, pretty prepared. And, you know, I think what goes on in college nowadays, from the way they're developed, because as you said, you know, they're lifting weights running and their strength and conditioning performance in high school now is leaps and bounds ahead of what it was back when I was in high school. I mean, it was prehistoric back then. So then they get to the college programs, and these college programs on some level are better than professional programs. So you kind of know, and then it's, hey, can they play football? Can they line up, think, react, and play and hit and strike and do what you have to do to play the game of football? Are they willing to violent place in their head, a dark place? I had to go to a dark place in my head, and that's where you have to go in the game of football.
You know, Jimmy Johnson also said this. He goes, when you go to a great program like Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, Bill, those are so close to the NFL in terms of weight conditioning and nutrition. Those are like almost NFL teams. That the player coming out of a big program like that, what you see in college, it's kind of what you get. But if you take a guy out of Wyoming, if you take Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, Jimmy's like, those kids have not had as good a coaching generally or as good a coordinators. They have a huge ceiling often. They just, you know, they played at a place that barely even had a training table. Go back to your career. You were a guy that didn't go to a massive Alabama. In your career, did small school guys pop, had a higher ceiling than big school guys?
You know what I think it comes down to? You know, I know for me, it was just hard work and desire. When I got to the San Francisco 49ers, I was around some of the best football players to ever play in the NFL. When you talk Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, I can go on and on. It was my work ethic and my desire to be great that allowed me to play as long as I played. And I could play football. And then now it came down to, hey, I got to stay strong, I got to stay healthy, and I got to be able to take the field to help our team win. So you're right, the upside. But then here's another thing, Colin, that I think that teams sometimes don't do a very good job at is finding the guy that fits in the system that they run.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it seems like the Patriots do that really well. They really, you know, it's like they bring in guys that they know will fit in their system, where other teams are like, well, let's put the round peg in a square hole. And a lot of times that doesn't work.
You know, the Bay Area well, the Niners have moved up to number 3. So they're taking a quarterback. You wouldn't move up to 3 to take a receiver. You wouldn't. So Garoppolo just can't stay healthy. In fact, he's of the last 4 years, he's been hurt in September 3 of the 4 times. And it's crazy, Bill. You know, you get to a point where when I look at Anthony Davis of the Lakers or I look at Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm like, God just didn't give him that. I mean, you played most of the great player like Jerry Rice. He didn't get hurt much. And, I mean, do you think it's fair the way the Niners look at Garoppolo as, hey, dude, we just can't trust your body?
You know, and it is what it is. And that's something I know for me, I learned how to take care of my body. And it seems like Jimmy Garoppolo and, you know, and it's kind of a thing that, especially when you have an ACL, the things that happen biomechanically to your body, it's like a train wreck every weekend, and you've got to be able to put your body back together, whether it be chiropractic, whether it be massage, biomechanic experts that I worked with. That's what he needs, and he also needs just really good recovery. He hasn't figured that out yet, and bottom line is, in the NFL, if you can't stay healthy, you're not going to be there very long. So that's a big issue. And You know, he's probably going to be, he may have one more year there, but other than that, it's not looking good.
You also know the Broncos well. You had success there. They have a quarterback, Drew Lock. And, you know, I've said this, there are things I like about him, but he's not Mahomes and he's not Justin Herbert. And so far, he's not Derek Carr. And you do get to a point where you say, well, you can't have the fourth best quarterback in a division. You can't. You maybe have.
Well, you're right. You have to focus on your division first. And if you got the worst quarterback in your division, chances are you're probably going to have the worst team in your division year after year. So you got to figure that piece out. And there's something just missing with him. And to me, it's it factor. He's just missing something. And hopefully, I love the Broncos, played for them, won 2 Super Bowls. I want to see them do well, but I don't think they're going to do well with him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. By the way, it was a long time ago. The year you got drafted was 1988. So the draft is obvious. That's almost 35 years ago. The draft has exploded. Tell people, back in 1988, did you get a phone call? I mean, what was the draft like for you?
Yes. I got a call from the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
And they said, you know, we're looking at taking a linebacker and, you know, we're thinking about you. We're making a decision and we'll give you a call back. And I never got a call. Then I get a call from the Indianapolis Colts. They said, we think the Raiders are going to take a quarterback, and if they do, we're going to draft you. That didn't happen. Then the 49ers called, and I was a San Francisco 49er in the 3rd round. And I tell you what, it was the greatest place for me to land on the planet. I won 2 Super Bowls back-to-back.
Isn't that funny, though? It's funny that people would call you and then not draft you.
Yes.
That is strange. That's calling somebody. I'd love to go out on a date, y'all. I'll call you for a date in 5 minutes. Well, if you're not going to go on a date, just don't call. What's the point? It's Nutrition 53.1, Lean 1, which I've taken, is fat burning, meal replacement, burns and tones muscles. It's great, by the way, and tastes great. Bill Romanowski, 4 Super Bowls. Great seeing you, bud.
Colin, good to see you. Take care.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
By the way, Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card into your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Discover.com/yes. Yes, and Joy Taylor here with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
I remember Jason's draft day.
What's that?
Jason's draft day.
What was it like?
We stuffed as many people as we possibly could in our house in Turtle Creek. I was pretty sure it was going to collapse into the ground or fall into the backyard. And he was stressed out, you know. He kept, like, checking the line to make sure that it was plugged in, you know. Back then there was no, you know, everybody
cell
had phones. Cell
phones. So he kept going back to the phone line.
Like, yeah, like, checking to make sure it was, you know, plugged in. And then,
that's funny.
You know, Jimmy Johnson finally called. And he walked out in the middle of the street to get away from everybody. But, yeah, it was a pretty crazy day.
So when the phone rang, he picked it up.
Yeah, you know, it's ironic, because obviously they still call you, you know, but it's technology is a little bit more advanced now, and you might get a like text and like have a little bit of heads up from your agent or whatnot. Like, it just wasn't. For kids, like, it was just like you had a landline. Nobody has a landline anymore. Like, that's how everyone communicated. So. And it's kind of funny, when he got in the Hall of Fame, you know, the process to get into the Hall of Fame is crazy. Like, they put everyone in
a hotel
rooms, and you have to stay there for a couple hours while they decide, and can't leave. And if they call you, you're not in. But if they knock on the door, then you are in. And it's like, it's just so when we were waiting to see if he was going to get in, it was me and his 2 sons and Tom Garfinkel and Nat Moore from the Dolphins were in there waiting. And my niece isn't there, so she keeps calling him. So every time the phone ring, he'd be like, no. So he had to tell her to stop calling, and then obviously he got in. But yeah, it's like, it's such a life-changing moment, the draft. Like, it means so much more than just like your next job. You know, it's like your what you want to do for your family and where you're going to live for the next couple of years. And it's just who you're going to play for. Who's
can
your
you
boss
imagine
be.
For? Can you imagine for the rest of us? I'm a broadcaster, and I'm waiting for a network to call me.
Yeah, it's very. It's a really. We talk about it very casually, like it's like, oh yeah, like this is what you're prepared for. Like it's not how you decide where you're going to go to college. It's not how these guys decide where they're going to go to college.
What if it's a horrible team and a bad coach, and you're sitting there thinking you've been the last 10 years a kid watching Andy Reid and Sean Payton and Belichick and Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh, and it's the new Eagles coach in his second year.
Right, play rock paper scissors. I think. You know what? I think these guys are competitors at the highest level, or they wouldn't be getting drafted. So unless you're a quarterback where you kind of know, like, all right, I'm going to have an uphill battle, I think you're optimistic and you believe that you can change what's going on there. Like, you're excited for the opportunity. And, you know, there's not that many jobs in the NFL, so it's still an honor to, you know, have a team want you anyway. So the first overall pick last year was Joe Burrow. His rookie year was cut short, ACL and MCL in week 11. But he gave a very encouraging update about his recovery heading into next season.
I'm very optimistic about where I'm at and also where the team's at. Rehab's going very, very well. And lifting is going very, very well. I'm in great shape. Legs feel good. Knee feels good. So there's still a long way to go, but I'm expecting to be there on the first snap of 2021.
Very exciting. Don't play him in the preseason. There's no point.
No, there's no point. Get an offensive line also. Love the idea of getting Kyle Pitts if he's available, but you're not going to be able to get to Kyle Pitts if he can't stay upright because there's no offensive line. I'm very excited to see Joe Burrow next year. I was really disappointed to see him injured, like devastated for him. Obviously, he's number one overall pick, and he's with an organization that now we're, you know, excited to watch, and the Bengals have been traditionally dysfunctional. So hopefully they can get that offensive line figured out and we'll get a full season out of him next year. But glad he's doing well in his recovery. So Devontae Smith's size has been a big question and concern leading up to the draft. He did not get weighed or measured at Alabama's pro day, but those numbers were taken at a medical check earlier this month. And he is reportedly 6 feet tall and 166 pounds.
And that is 30 pounds less than me, and I'm just an inch taller. And look, I am thin.
Yes. Look, you can look at him and see that he's thin. I think Joel Klatt made an interesting point earlier, that how you use him is going to be important. Don't keep him in the same space. Get creative in your offense. He is a good player. He's a Heisman winner. Like, if you like Mac Jones, I think you would probably like Devontae Smith. I mean, he has a great body of work. Obviously, you would like him to be a little bit bigger. Marvin Harrison is trending on Twitter right now, and so I wanted to look and see, like, they were comparing what he was entering the draft. He's 6 foot tall, also 178 pounds, so a little bit heavier. You know, there is something to this and what your body and your frame is.
But here's my takeaway. Marvin Harrison was at a basketball school 25 years ago. The quality of Alabama's weight program is like an NFL team. So he's 12 pounds lighter at a football school where they are totally committed to building guys up physically.
He is 22 years old. So he can still grow a little bit into his man body a little bit. He's still very young. I think he's going to slip because of this. Whether that's good or not, it depends on where he goes, obviously. Like, if he were to slip, say, far in the draft, and he ends up with someone like, I don't know, Kansas City or Tampa Bay, like, if he falls that far, or Baltimore Ravens could use a receiver, like, that's a situation that I think could work. Go to a creative offense where you don't have to rely on him to every single play. You have a lot of pieces. You can move him around. I think it might actually benefit him. Sometimes guys fall in the draft and it ends up being very beneficial to them.
You end up with a good team. Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of Kansas City Royals catcher Salvador Perez lost a Super Bowl bet with Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Brett Phillips. So Perez had to wear a Tom Brady jersey during batting practice
Two
teams met.
Looks great.
Well, the Royals tweeted out a video with Perez in the jersey, but he turned to the camera and shook his finger and said, Patrick Mahomes is the best. So Brady saw that and responded and said, so we're skipping one. But basically, he responded and said, I think actions speak louder than words because the Royals said otherwise. And then Mahomes got in on the phone and tweeted back, I guess we'll see in 20 years.
Yeah.
I think this is just playful. Some of people think it might be, you know, reading a little bit more to it.
Are people think it's serious?
Well, I mean, there's two very competitive guys, and, you know, Brady said something about it, took a little jab, and Mahomes did too. And Mahomes, that's a big declaration. Like, you're talking to Tom Brady, who you just lost to in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no kidding.
About what you're going to do in 20 years. We all agree that Mahomes is the most talented quarterback in the league right
talented.
Now. Like, we know
yes.
that. Yes. Yeah. What I think when it comes down to the GOAT debate, similar to, say, Jordan and LeBron, what LeBron has had to do has been so much, like over such a longer period of time, to prove that he is in that, and now he's obviously in that air with Jordan, but to pass Jordan in people's minds. That's my thing with Mahomes. Like, just not be disrespectful to what Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the Patriots did over the past 20 years. Like, we're all focusing on this glamorous, fun, new version of Tom Brady with Tampa Bay, which is incredible. But that was a dynasty that had a lot of things had to fall in place to make that happen. Like, let's just start with their offensive line year after year after year, building in the trenches the way that Bill Belichick did with those defenses. Like, there's a lot of things that have to fall in place to have a dynasty the level that the Patriots did. And that's what you're going to need to do, or an incredible over-the-top amount of statistics to pass Tom Brady.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Chris Hogan, the former Patriot wide receiver, bounced around the league, Patriots, Buffalo Bills. Great lacrosse player, by the way. Some thoughts on the draft. I mean, he's a guy that, again, a lot of people overlooked the process of going through it, fitting into an NFL team with Chris Hogan next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Hogan played in the NFL for a decade, several teams, two Super Bowl champs, undrafted out of Monmouth, started at Penn State, went to Monmouth, which is remarkable. He is joining us now live because, as we've talked about before, half the league is undrafted. So go back to your draft. You're undrafted. Did you think you were going to get drafted?
No.
Okay.
Nah, I had no idea. You know, I had a good pro day, you know, talked to a couple of different teams. I actually spoke with San Francisco on the last day of the draft, and, you know, that was a surprise to me. I was hoping for that call after the draft, which I inevitably got, but being drafted was never on my radar.
So the Bills, though, drafted you, didn't they, out of Monmouth? The Bills are the ones that drafted you?
No, the 49ers.
49ers.
The first starter.
Okay,
yep.
So when they called you, did they say, I mean, did you think you had a chance to make the team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the athlete and the competitor in me. I knew I had an uphill battle. You know, where I was at 10 years ago, I had played a year of football. Now I was going to compete with the best guys in the NFL. You know, I knew I had a lot to learn, but, you know, I believed in my athletic ability. I knew I just had to. I was a quick learner, so it just took some time. Didn't catch on there, but inevitably caught on with Buffalo.
It's interesting, and I ask guys this all the time. Your first three or four practices, if you're from Monmouth, you're playing lacrosse football. Did you have a sense, two or three practices in, I just beat that corner on a route. I can play in this league. Did you feel immediately, I can play in this league?
First day. I felt it. I tried to size myself up against these guys. You know, and a lot of it was just doing conditioning and drills. I knew athletically, and I could compete with these guys. And I was very raw when I was in San Francisco, but I was still able to get open and make some plays. And it didn't work out there, but you know, once I got that first feeling of being in the NFL, it was I knew I could play in this league.
You know, it's interesting. You were a teammate with Edelman, who I argued is a Hall of Famer, because I'm not into stats. I'm into, to me, in any sport, for a decade.
Playmakers.
That's what I'm like. For a decade, did you matter? Can I tell the story of the league without you? Edelman gets knocked because he doesn't have big stats. Be honest, all the players you ever played with, did he feel like a Hall of Famer? If so, why?
So I'm biased because I played with him and he's a good friend of mine. But when I think about the Hall of Fame and I think about, you know, the guys that are in that Hall of Fame, all those guys made impacts on their team in the league. People designed defenses, offenses around them, and they came up clutch in the biggest situations and the biggest games. And this guy did it for years, you know, and he won, you know, 3 Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP. So I think when you talk about Hall of Famers, I mean, I think you talk about that sort of characteristic. And Jules was able to do it for a long time. You know, he might not compare stats-wise to some of these guys, but when it comes down to making plays and being in that, in those situations and big plays and big games and the biggest stages, he always showed up.
Yeah, he's. I think he's more athletic than people think. I don't. It seems to me he's running away from a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, college quarterback turned, you know, wide receiver and Super Bowl MVP. He's a pretty athletic guy.
Yeah. So when Brady wins the Super Bowl, we all know Tom's great, blah, blah, blah. But the things we don't see that you do are the behind-the-scenes stuff, the training room, the locker room, the culture stuff. Is Tom, like when you watch, you know, Tampa struggled early, got beat by Chicago, crushed by the Saints, what is Tom like behind the scenes where you looked at Tampa and thought, yeah, of course this works. Tommy's, because Tampa was a losing organization forever.
I think it's like the Brady effect. You know, when I was in that locker room, you know, every single guy that was surrounded him or was around him wanted to put in the work. They wanted to play for him. They wanted to do well for him. He demanded a lot of all of his guys on offense, and I think he expected a lot of his teammates, you know, on the opposite side of the ball and special teams. You know, he cared so much about winning, and it was contagious. And I think, you know, going down to Tampa and doing what he did, I think his contagious, his competitiveness, you know, just spread throughout that locker room. And, yeah, it might have taken, you know, one or two games without an offseason and OTAs and, you know, a real training camp really to, you know, establish that relationship with his teammates. You know, he was able to do it over the course of the season. And, you know, I wasn't surprised that he ended up, you know, where he ended up and winning the Super Bowl.
Well, your wife's office, she's a doctor. His wife's a doctor, and they've got beautiful twins, and you've had a great career. You're not playing right now. Everybody always says they miss the camaraderie. Do you watch the NFL on Sundays now, or is it just like, I can't? I miss it too much. I can't watch it.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily, you know, I'll be playing the Professional Lacrosse League all summer, and you know, September rolls around. I mean, who knows? You never know what could happen. I didn't officially retire, so, you know, I'll be in really good shape, just so everybody knows. you know, I think I'll always turn on football because I'm such a fan of the sport, and I still have so many guys that I played with in the past that are still playing, and, you know, I love watching those guys play and compete and do well and have success. So,
by the way, look,
I'm sure I'll definitely cue into it.
It's not like lacrosse isn't physical. My stepson played college lacrosse. He comes home with bruises and welts, so it's it's a lot more physical. Boys lacrosse, they whack each other with sticks. It's brutal.
Yeah. It's a physical game.
Yep. You're launching his undrafted line of merchandise. It's called Undrafted, signature line of sunglasses in partnership with Tomahawk Shades. It is Chris Hogan, 2 rings, undrafted, out of Monmouth. And I don't even know where Monmouth is. It sounds like it's somewhere up in the Berkshires or something. Where is it?
Jersey Shore, New Jersey.
All right.
Right on the beach.
Is it really?
It's pretty close to it.
Monmouth. Did you know where it is, Joy?
Did not, no.
It sounds like the Berkshires.
Or sounds like a fun place to go to school.
Yeah. Well, if it was the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Surprised he ever worked out if it's on the Jersey Shore.
Then in Penn State, too.
Good seeing you, Chris. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Enjoy spa-like comfort. Save big on your water bill. Navien tankless water heaters. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Save money. Only heats hot water when you need it so it never runs out. So my mock draft, I put another one up today. I'm only going to do one more. I'm going to do it next Wednesday. That's it. Then I'm done doing mock drafts.
Well, the draft starts.
What day does it start? Thursday.
So, yeah, I'd hope that'd be your last one.
So Wednesday's my last mock draft. That's it. Oh, by the way, I made a mistake earlier. So I said the NFL screwed up.
Oh, yes. the schedule release date.
Yeah, I thought it was May 8th, which is a Saturday, which is a dumb day to do it because what you want to get is free publicity. And the NFL's been brilliant getting the most free publicity. They've moved their free agency. They extended their draft. So it's May 12th at 8 p.m. So the NFL.
What day of the week is that?
It's like middle of the week, Wednesday.
There we go.
So they're going to get Thursday and Friday, all the networks that do talk shows are going to talk NFL. I thought it was May 8th at noon.
Yeah, Saturday's not the best.
And I'm like, Saturday's nobody. That's terrible time.
Yeah.
You want to release it at night, have all of us think about it, and talk about it for 2 days. So it's May 12th, middle of the week at night. So Thursday, Friday, the 13th, 14th, get ready for my obsession with, I'm really interested.
Well, you have a lot of theories on the, not theories, I guess theories, yeah, on the schedule.
Yeah, I think
and
that.
And how it's going to impact the win-loss.
We have a history with certain coaches that are unbeatable in September. You know, like Denver at home in September is one of the best teams in league history because of the altitude. Teams have not trained for it. You're not in your best shape. You go to Denver. It's hot.
Yep.
You get the altitude. Denver's hot in September. You go in there and melt. Miami, by the way. You don't want to play Miami in September or Tampa. You cannot recreate that for most teams, the heat you face. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Live in L.A., it's The Herd.